Amen. The love of God. How good it is for you and me to experience it. I love the part, measureless. Measureless. How the height, the width, the depth, we're trying to get our arms around how great God's love is, but it's beyond measure, beloved. And so live in it this week and be thankful for it. And remember, it's that love that we're supposed to be proclaiming and declaring to a world around us and overcoming evil with it. And so let's pray that we'll be faithful to do that. We're in a little epistle of Jude, and we'll finish it next week. But tonight we want to be in verses 17 through verse 22, 23, if you'll be making your way there. As we work through this little epistle about contending for the truth. And it is a war out there, not just in the Middle East. There's a war on truth. And as we contend for the faith, there's two really important things just to consider tonight that we need to be responsible to be doing. We're part of a great cosmic battle. It's been going on for some ages, right, from the beginning of the garden there. And what we need to realize is there's two things that we should be focused on as a church in this, as we contend for the faith, as we stand for truth. The first is that we always have to be, some would say, on crusade for the truth, right? We are lifting high the banner of truth. Jesus is truth, amen? We are lifting high that banner. We are marching forth in battle, representing Him. We are enlisted into His army, praise the Lord. And we are going forth, and there's an enemy that is on the other side. And our responsibility with the truth in that crusade is you've got to define it. You've got to defend it, and then you've got to defeat the lies of the enemy. Now, the important thing here is that you've got to define the truth. Truth has boundaries, okay? It tells you what something is and what it is not. It clearly distinguishes itself from lies. And so we don't have a problem with drawing boundaries. We don't draw them. God does, because He is truth. And so as we define carefully truth, we realize in defending it, oftentimes, You heresy or lies is what comes forth and causes us to be more careful with our language, or more careful, more precise in the things that we say we believe as we define what truth is. And as you do it, it's that truth that overcomes the lie. When you present truth, praise the Lord, truth always triumphs. It's one of my favorite phrases, and that's why we stand for it. And so we need to do that, and we see that in our day. I mean, someone wants to define what is justice, right? Well, again, truth defines that for us, and so we realize biblical justice, as God defines it, is something that God determines as the ultimate judge, and that judge has issued a law, a decree of what is right and what is wrong. And so that justice comes down, and the just judge makes sure that he renders that justice in the right measure, at the right time, in the right way. And he draws that line down from his throne through every human heart. The world, you know, they try to define justice this way, and they often do it through swaths of people and dividing classes of people or genders or dividing nationalities or ethnicities from one from another, and saying someone has perceived experienced injustice. And that's Marxist ideology, social injustice, and we see that today. An issue even more maybe relevant to us, even in the church, is, you know, when God defines certain things, we have to live up to them as He says it. His scripture is sufficient. It tells us everything we need for life and godliness right here. And so why would I turn to any other source outside of what God says? And I need to realize, if I'm going to get my definitions for what truth is, I need to draw it right here from what God's Word says. Go to another source, go to some extra source, and you got to be really careful. If it's not in line with Scripture, then we punt it. We don't want that, okay? So that's the crusade. Hold that banner. Listen, you're an ambassador for it, okay? Make sure you're clearly defining what that truth is, and you're living within that boundary, right? That's our behavior within that. Our behavior within those boundaries centered on truth is we love, okay? Now, the other important element is not just the crusade for truth, but there's the casualties from the lies, right? That's when we're in the battle, there's those who haven't believe the truth that we have, embrace the truth, and they've believed the lies. Now, beloved, we once were there. We once were in darkness. We once were ignorant. We didn't know the truth until someone brought us the truth. And so those who have believed the lies, listen, we can't just trumpet the truth and stick it in their face and say, you know, shame on you. Listen, we once were there, okay? There's a way that compassionately we should be presenting them the truth, listen, so that they can see the error of their ways, and so they can repent and they can turn and maybe even realize, you know what, I don't have to believe and embrace this lie anymore. I can choose a different path. And that's what we need to realize as a church, our responsibility individually and corporately in this battle. And Jude's going to highlight that in this section, because you talk about, listen, contending for the truth and having compassion on those who have believed lies. And a healthy church is not just one that stands on the corners with megaphones and just screams at people and yells at people. But a healthy church, listen, is one who knows where they stand because God defines it, and then is reaching out to those who have believed a lie in a way to draw them. Now, sometimes you have to be confrontational, all right? I'm not denying that, and we'll highlight that in a moment. But we also need to realize that some people are just ignorant. Now, don't look at them, please, this week and go, man, you're just ignorant, all right? But they don't know the truth. They haven't come to the knowledge of the truth. And remember, that's what God desires. God desires that all will come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul would tell Timothy, the church is the pillar, the support for the truth. We have a responsibility to hold it up. And we hold it up because it's truth which will attract, and it's truth which will expose, and it's truth that will hopefully help them to realize, man, I believed a lie, but I don't have to anymore. And so that's what we want to be aware of as we read through Jude's epistle. He gives us insight. Listen, now this isn't just what happened in his day. This is what's happened just about every year throughout church history. This is evident. Every church is having to deal with false teaching and have to minister to those who are affected by the lies that are perpetrated out there. And remember, all the devil has to do is just slightly take the truth and just twist it, right? Just a little bit, and just make it a little bit crooked, and he's really deceptive in the way he does that, isn't he? And he knows how to dangle that hook out there and draw in some, and that's why we want to study and understand God's word and God's truth. We also want to study church history, because most of the heresies are just repackaged every 50, 100 years, right? And then presented again. Here we go. Here they come again. But if you're a discerner of truth and you understand that the battle is over truth and it's against the enemy who's the father of lies, then you realize, okay, I just need to be aware of truth, and that will always help me in the battle. Now, if you walk through the epistles, we're in Jude. This is one of the last epistles written. But if you go back to one of the first epistles written, probably either Thessalonians or Galatians, now there's, you know, disagreement over which one is written first. Do you realize even in those epistles there was arguments over truth? In Thessalonians, Paul was writing because they didn't know the truth about the second coming of Christ. Their eschatology was all askew. It wasn't right. And so as a result of that, some people weren't doing what they should have been doing, and others had lost their hope and thought, oh no, we've missed it, and our loved ones who have died had missed it. Woe is us, right? And Paul had to give them some truth to get them back and get them on the right path. If you go to Galatians, again, one of the earliest epistles possibly that Paul wrote, the issue there was, how are you justified? How are you made right with God? And do you do anything to help merit your salvation? Can you and I do anything? Or if we do, did Christ die in vain if we think that? And so he had to correct that. And that's, listen, heresies or lies, and they're actually helpful. Don't get upset about them. It just gives us opportunity to contend for the truth. To say, listen, isn't it good to know where you stand? I think so. Yeah, and then you don't waver, you know, you just stand firm. And listen, I love what Martin Luther said when he had to deal with the false teaching of the Catholic Church in his day, and when they called him a heretic, a Hussite, and he said, who's Huss? And he went to the library, and you know, they were supposed to have burned all of John Huss's books, but every good librarian knows you don't burn books. And so they had secretly hidden them away, and they said, oh, come here, Martin. And so they let him read some Hussite in the middle of the night, and so when he came back, he's like, yeah, I am a Hussite, and I'm right. In fact, he said, you know what? Here's the scriptures. Here's where I stand. Here I stand. If you can persuade me with anything different from the word of God, so be it. But otherwise, here I stand. I can do no other. And see, that's what we should do. We should know the truth so when we're contending with the world around us, I know where I stand, And I'm able to speak, listen, not just, you know, I can speak confidently that I know where I am, but also compassionately and maybe even persuasively why someone should say, you need to really consider this truth. The good news is the Spirit of God enables us to do that. And the Spirit of God is actually working on their hearts, right? If you believe the truth, He is convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? That is His work. We get to that in the month of June when we're walking through our study in theology, the work of the Spirit of God and what He is doing in people's lives, our lives and their lives. So first we want to talk about and focus on here this crusade that we have, championing truth, realizing that there are errors out there, but we have a solid foundation, praise the Lord, we're standing on. And so how do we contend for the truth and what must we always do? Now remember Jesus' words. Notice what it says here in verses 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit we are to remember. In other words, it should not be a surprise to you that there's false teaching out there. It should not be a surprise or a shock to us that there are those who mock the faith or those who twist the faith. These false teachers come, and it shouldn't be a shock. Jesus warned about them, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, after He had concluded all His good teaching, when He got to the very end of His teaching, He warned about the false teachers that would come, and they would be quite evident. And Paul himself in the book of Acts, when he drew all the elders there to Miletus and warned them, listen, they're going to come as wolves in sheep's clothing, deceptive, right? You may not notice them at first. They come in with the appearance that they're one of the children of God, one of the flock. And yet what happens in, they come in and they're savage and they ravage the flock of God. And so Jesus warned about that. Paul warned about it. Go read the pastoral epistles, Timothy and Titus, as Paul speaks to those young preachers and talks about their churches and tells them over and over again to not embrace anyone that has other teaching, right? Teaching of another flavor, I guess you would say, right? Of another kind is literally how it's in the Greek. Like, don't even embrace them. Don't allow them in. In fact, expose them. What's fascinating there is he says they come and their teaching is often from their speculation, right? Their imagination, what they're teaching, their fables and their own thinking, rather than by God's economy, he says, which is by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. So we want the Word. In fact, go over to John's epistles. You find this everywhere. You shouldn't be surprised. John would warn many times, test the spirits. Make sure they're of God. How do you test the spirits? How do you test whether this is of God or not? Well, you see, the Spirit, praise God, has inspired one plumb line for us right here. The Spirit inspired this book. So if anyone comes saying something or says, you know, I think the Spirit's just moving me to do this because I believe this. Well, hold tight. Let's bring the plumb line out and let's lay the plumb line right here and let's assess it. Let's put it up again. Whoa. This is out in left field. This is askew. Because that plumb line, it will never, ever lead us astray, y'all. Remember, we studied this on Sunday morning several weeks ago, and we talked about Scripture being inspired and infallible. Infallible means it will never lead us the wrong way. It's going to give us doctrine, reproof when we're on the wrong side, correction to get on the right side, and then instruction in righteousness. It will teach us and instruct us in the right ways to go. And so we need to be mindful of that. And so all this is warning is there. Remember, don't forget, beloved, all the things that were spoken by all the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've listed several of them by Paul and John here, even Jude. Examine them. There will be those. Now, what will they be like? Because I'm grateful that he describes them. And this is a healthy and easy way for us to, you know, assess not only what they say, but you can tell by their behavior. Remember, we started our study on Sunday mornings on good theology, talking about not only our belief, right belief, but also right behavior, right? And so if there's a teacher whose behavior doesn't match up with right belief, then that's going to be suspect. And he gives us the behaviors right here to watch for. Notice them. Notice what they are. We told you, they told you that there would be those who would come and they would mock in the last time. They would walk according to their own ungodly lusts, their sensual persons, and that caused divisions. And they don't have the Spirit of God. They're scoffers, mockers. They laugh about God's truth. They have no regard for God's truth. I'm telling you, I can tell a lot about a preacher or a teacher of the word by what they think about this book right here. Do they scoff at what God says? Do they think they know better than God? And there's some who think they do. They have no regard for thus saith the Lord. And they much rather opine about their own ideas rather than say, here's where the scripture is, here's where the verse is, go and find it, line, precept, principle, build your life on it. Peter warned about this just as Jude does, that they would come this way, mocking God's word, not regarding the promises of God, not even considering what God has said he will do. And that's just insightful for us. Listen, if you're listening to somebody online, if you're listening to somebody on the TV or on, you know, if you get those face, notice how many times they are preaching, teaching, instructing from the word of God, okay? Where are they coming from? What are they saying? Do they have much regard for what God's word says, right? It's very insightful. They're not only mockers and that come, but they're also those who walk according to their own ungodly lusts. In other words, they're very sensual, all right? Carnally minded. They're more focused on their own selfish, sensual desires and their behaviors. In fact, what's sad, we saw this earlier. You look over back in the very beginning of his epistle, over in verse 4, Jude's epistle there, it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation." Notice this, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Could that really happen in the house of God? Oh, beloved, have y'all not seen the things that they endorse and some sensual, sexual behaviors that are now promoted by churches? I mean, that is in the house of God. And it is not godliness and it is not of God. It's of the devil. That is real today. We may not see it. May we never see it at South River Baptist Church. But let's not be arrogant and think we're somebody, okay? We ask the Lord, keep us guided by truth. Keep us steadfast in the truth. But realize it's out there. And they want to feed their appetites. And they want to gratify their appetites. And they're very sensual and wicked behavior. And you just see how many pastors in some of these mega churches, these guys who, you know, they're like shooting stars. They get up there fast, but man, they come crashing down really quick too. To be on guard. They're schismatic. They cause divisions. They separate the body. They come in. That's what wolves do. They savage. They ravage. They divide. They tear them up. Now, this is important for us because as much as it depends on us, we want to be at peace with all men. We want to pursue that oneness that's a reflection of the God that we worship. Remember, we just studied the Trinity. He's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, relating perfectly in love. And that's how we're supposed to be pursuing oneness, loving one another as much as it's possible, built around truth, guided by truth, based on this word, the unity of his spirit that dwells within us, as much as we can, not seeking. Sometimes, beloved, we get in the way, our little me, myself, and I egos, right? That needs to die to self, and we need to be pursuing life in the spirit and what God's will is in all ways. But you know, there's one who loves to divide, Satan. Right? He's a divider and a destroyer. It's his tactic. And so when individuals come in and want to cause division and not even try to pursue unity, that's usually I'm not saying we can't address something in the body. We should be willing to do that. But when they don't even pursue unity, that is a concern, right? And there's no even attempts at unity, no attempts to build unity, because that's what we should be doing. Listen, we realize that as a staff, that's why we pray together. That's why we call on the Lord and we ask the Lord to protect the house, protect the flock, and to guide us. We want to be one as a staff. We want to be unified in where the Lord is leading this body. And so we want to do that regularly because we have to be the example for that to the congregation. And that's not easy to do sometimes, even on church staffs. I'm not saying, I love our church staff. Don't go out here going, oh no, we got a problem. No, okay. We don't. We have great staff, and I love all of them, and I love serving alongside them. But it also means, listen, when you see that, Someone who wants to cause division and has no desire really for unity, that's a flag. And you need to be on guard. Okay? We want to pursue that. This is who they are. Now, sadly, you notice what they are? The reason they don't pursue unity, the reason they're all about their flesh, is this. Notice what it says. They are devoid of the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. Because you see, if they profess to know Jesus and Jesus' Spirit dwelt within them, then they would be pursuing oneness. They would be pursuing peace with their brothers. They'd be pursuing peace around truth. And they wouldn't be these spiritual fraudsters, right? They wouldn't come in being deceptive, right? This is what's critical and vital for us to be very discerning, never letting our guard down, always being alert, because the devil, he would love to destroy every church that he can. And one of the way he does it, he slips in, and suddenly, you know, they get promoted to teaching, and the truth is that they're really just a savage wolf in sheep's clothing. So we want to be discerning. Never let your guard down. Remember, Satan, as it says, has his own apostles. He has his own pawns that he uses. Paul would warn against them. So be alert. Be attentive to that. That's the truth. That's those who proclaim the truth. Teachers, right? So we have to be on guard. Those who are defining truth, are they defining it according to the Word of God? Because if you're going to make certain of that, that's the only way you can defeat lies and error is with truth. But what about the casualties? What about those others? This is the other rail. Really, all ministry runs on these two rails, championing truth and ministering to the casualties, those who believe the lies. Well, that's who he speaks about here, I believe, in verses 20 through 23. The responsibility that we have to remain steadfast in the love of God, to build ourselves in that, our faith, and as we stand firm, how we minister to those around us. And he gives us a little paradigm here for the way we should do this so that we can remember that it is good to be part of the flock of God, and we have a responsibility to protect and preserve that, but we're also supposed to be reaching outside the flock because there are those. Listen, we once were there. Don't ever forget that, okay? Don't ever forget where you once were before someone shared Christ with you, before someone shared the truth with you. Be grateful for that and be mindful. There's others just like you out there. In fact, you and I are supposed to be trophies of grace. We're supposed to be testimonies of God's grace. Look at what he's done in my life. And you can experience that too as we reach outside the walls. But make sure that you're taking care of yourself. How do you make sure that you're in the right position so you can reach out? Well, we have some things that we have to do for ourselves. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is our responsibility for ourselves. Now, I underlined all the ing verbs right here because in the Greek, these are all the adverbs and they're all like, they all flow in the text. Like these are the main points, all right? So you say, well, keep isn't how to keeping. Well, it's the same tense, verb tense. So we want to focus on that. But we want to look at the building, the praying, the keeping, the looking. That's our responsibility so that you can be an effective ambassador for Christ and a contender for truth as you go and minister to those who believe the lies. This is what you and I need to do. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, all right? We know the truth. Beloved, we still are growing in the truth. Keep growing. Never be satisfied or think, I've arrived. I don't need to learn anything else. Beloved, that's none of us, all right? We all are building ourselves, growing. In fact, I kind of liken it. You know, you're just putting another brick of truth around your walls, right? Because you're clear, you're defending truth. And you're standing there, and it's like a castle for you and for me. It's a solid foundation that we stand upon and we stand in so that when the storms come, beloved, we're in the right place because we have done what Jesus says. If you hear my words and you act upon them, you're like the man who builds his house on the rock. And when the storms come, the winds blow, the rain falls, the house stands firm. So build yourself up in our most holy faith. God's word is, listen, as I said, it is that which gives us the plumb line, reproves us, corrects us, and then instructs us so that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. thoroughly equipped. So this is key. Don't stop studying your Bible. Don't stop asking the Spirit to speak to you and grow you in the faith. Listen, as Jesus would say, abide in the vine and let my word abide in you. And when you do that, you'll be fruitful. But you got to abide in the word and the truth. All right? Now, we're building. Hey, we're also praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this praying in the Spirit, that's not a charismatic thing, okay? All right? What in the world does he mean? Well, when we're praying in the Spirit, we're so filled with the Spirit of God, we know the Word of God that the Spirit inspired, that the Spirit has given us understanding. And when we don't understand it, it's a healthy thing to say, God, can you illumine my mind? You've inspired these writers. Now illumine my mind to understand what the writers are saying. And then we're praying to God and we're calling out to Him with what we've learned about who God is. It's amazing. The Spirit of God will guide your prayers so that you and I know how to pray, what we ought to pray. Because we're not going to ask something that's contrary to the will of God. That would be futile. If God's Word says, this is my will, would you dare to pray something contrary to that? No, I wouldn't want to pray that. I want to pray in accordance with God's will. I want to pray in accordance with who God is. And where do I know that? The Word of God. And so I build myself up in that truth, and then I begin to pray. And I pray. And by the way, if we're going to be contending, do you know one of the greatest instruments for war that God has given us? Prayer. Prayer. Man, prayer is powerful. Do you realize, listen, you may not be there, but your prayers can be there, affecting the situation. Like, now listen, when I was in the Army, I was an air defense officer, and then I was a signal man in an armor battalion. And I love the artillery guys, you know, the guys that make it go boom, right? And they don't have to be on site, man. They can be far, far away, but they're raining in on the enemy. Boom, boom. Fascinating to watch them do their work. And that's like our prayers, beloved. You're not there, but you're calling in artillery. God, bring that truth to someone's mind. Bring that truth into that situation and praying for God to work powerfully. We're calling on Him. We're calling in for God to do something what we can't do, what we may not be able to do. And sometimes praying for the Lord to change us in the midst of that as well. And see, we pray in the Spirit, and we pray and we ask the Lord to guide us, to guard what we're doing, and to enable us to know what I'm supposed to do. It's the Spirit that leads us. It's the Spirit that guides us. It's the Spirit that enables us. You know what's fascinating? When you and I know the Word so much and you're out there contending for truth, you know, sometimes I'm out there and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say to this person? God, could you help me? Lord. And you know what? Sometimes the Spirit of God just bring a word right to my mind to share with somebody. Why? Because I've built myself up in my holy faith, and I'm praying, and I'm asking the Spirit. Now, hey, what I've stored within, could you bring that up and bring it? And isn't it nice to know God's promised that He would do that? He said, don't you worry about what you have to speak. In that moment, my Spirit will enable you in that moment. Just be a vessel for Him to do that in. But make sure you've been building yourself up in the most holy faith, and then praying in the power of the Spirit to guide me, direct me, to enable me, and praise the Lord that God, do you realize we can do exceedingly above all we ask or think according to the Spirit that works in us? That's what Paul says in Ephesians. Now, keep yourselves in the love of God, right? Keep yourself grounded. Know where you stand. All right? Stand fast there. But notice what he says here. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, this should mean, listen, as I go into any situation to contend, beloved, we should have an optimistic outlook. Jesus is coming, and one day He's going to make all things right. You and I might be the instrument in the moment, the agent, the ambassador that He wants to use towards that happening. All right, to establishing His kingdom on this earth. I mean, He wants to work in us and through us. We represent Him. Ultimately, we need Him to come and make all things new. But listen, we're not just sitting around waiting for Him to come. No, we're going forward in confidence because I know He's coming. You know why? He told me so. He promised. Hey, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself. And that's so that where I am, you can be with me always. I'm kind of looking forward to that day. Beloved, we're not going to go. We don't want to go alone. We want others to have this same hope that abides in us, Peter would say. Ready to give a defense, ready to tell them the hope that we have. That hope is tied to His second coming. And beloved, He is going to come. And you and I need to be ready. And so we fix our face like a flint. We're running this race and we're looking to the skies because we know one day they're going to be divided. The trumpet's going to sound and we're going up. Praise the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Because he's faithful, beloved, he's faithful to everything he's promised. And then we minister to those around us. We consider them. Now listen, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. That love, listen, it's truth and love which are essential here. Truth, because I'm going to minister to those who believed a lie, and love overcomes all things. So that's what overcame us. That's what wooed us to him, the love of God, right? The Spirit who woos us with love. Now you're to be an instrument with truth and love. Of course, just think about that. You speak the truth in love, right? So how do we minister to them? Now notice, on some we have compassion, making a distinction. On others we save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Beloved, we should be concerned about those out there. If you're not concerned about them tonight, then you need to ask, is the love of God in me? Because someone was concerned about you and shared the gospel with you. All right? If the love of God is, how can we who have received mercy never want others to experience that mercy? Mercy changes us. Love changes us. And it helps us to realize, listen, the reason we do a lot of the ministries outside of the walls, beloved, we're throwing seed out there. We're fishing. We're trying to reach others who need to experience what we've experienced. And we're asking the Spirit to woo them, to draw them. And on some, there's different ways that you find. You got to have a distinction. In other words, you look out there and you got to be very discerning about who's out there. Because y'all don't know if you realize this, sometimes when you go out and speak the truth in love, not everybody wants to hear what you have to say. Right? You try this tomorrow at the office, try this tomorrow on the factory floor. Someone says, hey, how'd it go this weekend? Well, you know, I heard a sermon yesterday about the great attributes of God, just how awesome he is. There's no God like him. Don't want to know that. Right? And they walk away from you. And someone may want to have a little listen, give you an ear, listen for a little bit and say, well, I don't believe that. That's not what I believe. I believe God is like this. And I want to define him this way. And so you have to be discerning as you're ministering. But we want to have compassion, beloved. We should be concerned for them. Some, they're in doubt. They don't know. You find someone who doesn't know, be discerning about it. You someone who's being a scoffer, being a fool, be very discerning about that too. I love this proverb over in Proverbs chapter 26. Verses 4 and 5, it seems confusing at first when you read it. Listen to this. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Well, do I answer the fool or do I not answer the fool, right? Which is it? Yes. You answer a fool. Sometimes fools need to be engaged in conversation, right? Sometimes they don't deserve a response. Right? And you've got to be very discerning. Is this a foolish one? Is this someone who is just displaying their ignorance and maybe actually one with truth when it's presented to them? Or is this clearly someone who's displaying their ignorance and they're being a scoffer and their heart is not receptive to truth? Sometimes you have to answer a fool according to his folly so that he realizes how wrong he is. Sometimes you don't answer him because he's really being a fool and you don't want to be like him in the moment. It takes great discernment, great practice. So what do? Some people will just say, well, I'm not going to say anything. No, beloved, we still have to contend for the truth. We have to contend for the faith. That's what Jude said. He wrote for us so that we would contend earnestly for the faith. But be very discerning about those that you're speaking to. And you know how you do that? Spirit of God, could you help me right here? To know how to speak, what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And to say it in a way that it's the truth in love. And asking the Lord to help you to do that. Some you got to have a distinction. You got to discern who's out there. Are they just doubting, or are they really mocking and scoffing against the Lord? Others are out there and they're defiled, right? Their garments. Some are in danger. They're in the fire. You got to snatch them out of the fire. They're so close to hell, you realize they smell like it, right? I tell you, whenever you're burning something, you know, we worked in the yard yesterday and lit it all up and made these wonderful smoke stacks. I love doing that. I don't know if my neighbors like it, but anyways. And just riding in my tractor, just passing around it once or twice. The next thing you know, I was like, man, I smell like smoke. I've been next to a fire. Some people smell like it, don't they? They're close, and you know it. Beloved, we're supposed to save them, pull them out of the fire. Do you realize, listen, some of us were stumbling towards the slaughter, as the wise man in Proverbs says. The cords of death were drawing us there. And praise God, someone stepped in. Praise God, someone said, no, no, you don't have to go that way. Come this way. Look at the Savior right here. And we turned and we arose and our chains fell off. Praise God, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some, listen, as you save them, hate the garment that's defiled by the flesh. Don't hate the person, but hate what they've clothe themselves in, where they're at. You know, apart from the grace of God, we'd be there, right? But praise God, we're not tonight. But see, we should all be, you all, listen, all of us should be able to identify one, two, or three different people that are like this, that are in your circle, in your arena, right? Where you go this week, where you work, where, listen, it may be the same clerk that you see when you go to the store, a particular grocery store or a restaurant, or if it's a place where you stop and get coffee every morning at Sheets or someone, and there's someone, a guy who works there, and you see him every week. Man, be intentional. Be intentional with the truth. Speak the truth in love. Let God work through you. Contend for the truth out there, church. Make sure you're building yourself up. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're keeping your eyes on the skies, staying steadfast in the love of God. And then, because that love is what's in us, beloved, let's share it and show it to the world around us. They desperately need to hear it. Let's be faithful to do that. Amen? Let's pray before we go. Father, Lord, again, help us to be mindful. We're not just champions of truth, Lord. There are those who've believed lies and need to be saved. And Father, we are your body. We're your hands, we're your feet. We are your ambassadors while we're here on earth. So may we be found faithful reaching. May we be found faithful going out. Lord, may we be found faithful extending the invitation that was given to us, and that your Spirit is convicting men and women and children of the truth that they've rejected. And Father, may we come bearing your truth, presenting your truth in love. Lord, protect us, guard us, Lord, and help us to establish ourselves in our most holy faith. But Father, thank you for the promise. Ultimately, truth triumphs and our Savior comes. And Lord, we look forward to that day. We love you tonight. We praise you. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters. Give us all a good week serving you, walking with you, triumphing with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.